This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Welcome in, folks, to The Point After. The Saints losing to the Miami Dolphins 21-17 on the road. Week 13 action. The black and gold now drop to 2-10 on the season. Miami improves to 5-7. Man, oh man, Cajun Cannon, that first half of action, there was very little action, I at least should say, from the Saints offense. They did come alive in the second half, but we've seen it in the past. Too little, too late from this black and gold bunch.
Well, I don't know where to start. I mean, why don't we start with the game plan where we make halftime adjustment in the second half? Why don't we do that in the first quarter? And I'm asking Coach Moore that. What is the halftime adjustments, the theme? What do y'all do? Do you maybe give them the business a little bit and how they respond? It was truly a tale of two halves.
Right.
Well, we didn't even look like an NFL team in the first half. Are you going to try and compete? You know, you always have weird games. Every weekend or every series of games, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, whatever, Monday. Carolina looked terrible against us. What, they just beat the Rams, who has a possibility to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl? No, you're going to see another game next week like that. Well, how in the world did they beat them? You know, it's going to be one of those, but we need one of those. Now, Tampa Bay's kind of beat up. Will we all of a sudden throw Carolina a bone? Because everybody said, oh, slam dunk, Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to win the NFC South. I don't know. Considering with Carolina, I don't really find a way to win. I always say this, I'd rather win ugly than, oh, we played hard, we looked good, but we didn't win the game. Well, we did at least cover. I mean, Vegas was pretty, I think it was like 4.5. Then it went to 5.5. So we did take the Saints in the points you won. So I don't know if that's a moral victory or whatever. It's a bettor's victory. When you look at it, when everything unfolds. But, I mean, I'd said this at halftime, and it's been kind of like that. The offensive theme of our team at time offensively is three and out, three and out, three and out, before we wake up. And I'm like, well, don't you have to score to win? Well, we still didn't score. Bobby, yes, we did. We got 17 points. Exactly, 17 points. You're not going to win too many times in the National Football League, only scoring 17 points. I don't know. To me, you give the fans hope, and you get within one score, but that happened a bunch of times this year. Oh, we're within one score, Bobby. But no, there's no moral victories. You got to win the game, and we find a way not to win a game. That's what bad teams do. So when you break it down, it's just very frustrating. I thought at the beginning of the game we had to do this. Okay, can we run the ball against the Dolphins? The Dolphins were 29th against the run. They were giving up 143 yards a game. Now, I know we didn't have Alvin Kamara. I think even with Alvin Kamara, it wouldn't have made a difference. We still only ran for 81-yard average. And we were averaging 92 yards a game coming in. We were number 29 as far as rushing attacks. Well, and we didn't stop Achan. We thought we had that. You know how we stopped Dottel and we stopped Bijan Robinson? We didn't stop Achan. Now, that could be a lot to do because he can hit it and get it. But the Dolphins' offensive line blocking for him. But you look at the Saints, we were right on the cusp. We should maybe have a few more carries. I guess this would be on the borderline considering high 20s, low 30s. 27 carries, but 81 yards. We only averaged 3 yards a carry, and they average 5.1. But Achan averaged 6.1. He came into the game averaging 5.5 yards a carry, so we didn't stop him. Tua looks like he's regressed as a pro quarterback. I don't know. Tua don't look good to me. And look, he had a quarterback rating of 56. Tyler Shuck had a quarterback rating of 92. But this is another thing. I think this day and age, and really any time, you have to have those splash or chunk plays, splash runs or splash chunk pass plays. The Dolphins had a run of 29 yard by Achan. You know, that's the longest run of the season. I forgot what game. I think Taysom Hill might have did that against Carolina. What was the game he had the 29 yard run? Well, we've only done that one time. And the Dolphins had a 29-yard run with Achan and had a 35-yard pass completion. You know what our longest run was? 8 yards. And our longest pass completion was 17 by Olave. Speaking of Olave, I don't know. I'm not hating. So all you Olave lovers, don't say I'm hating. I'm not hating. You want to be the number one receiver, you got to make that catch at the end of the game. Come on. And I even say this with Juwan Johnson. The very first game, you never know what's going to happen. They sets the tone against the Cardinals. Now, that was a really tough catch, but you make that tough catch, that contested catch, Saints have a chance to win. Same thing with Olave. You got to make that touchdown catch at the end of the game. Well, Bobby, that's easier said than done. No, the number one receivers do that in the National Football League. You just have to. And sometimes it's not even contested. How about you just catch it? And it goes through your arms. Now, I don't know. I might not bring this up the rest of the season because it's the same song and dance. It's the same song and dance. Get off to a fast start. What in the hell? We might set NFL record being outscored in the first quarter. We've been outscored now 92-19. We're always chasing points. We're always losing. We always have to, you know, play some type of catch-up. Obviously, that's not winning, and I'm a... You know, again, I'm asking Coach Moore in the coaching show, what are your halftime adjustments? That it looks like we're ready to play the second half. What, y'all don't practice during the week? Everyone prepares for their job or whatever they're doing. So you kind of want to set the tone. You have plays that should work, but I don't know. Three and out. We're not playing complimentary football. How many times you hear that? You know, not helping out our defense at times. Now, I thought Cam Jordan, I don't know, it seems like our oldest players make the most plays. Again, who you think led the team in tackles? DeMario Davis, 9 total tackles. Look at Cam Jordan, 2 sacks, 2 quarterback hurries, 3 tackles for a loss. Brian Brzee, you know, he had amongst the defensive tackles last year, he's amongst the leaders in sacks. He had a sack, he had a quarterback hurry. Tackle for a loss. McKinstry had a nice interception, but I think Tua's bad. That was a terrible throw. What was he doing there? He also had a tackle for a loss and a pass defender. Chase Young. Okay, Chase Young beat his man so bad, go for the football. Deuce was even hollering about this. You could say, when you come in free and you're going to be on the quarterback, like you know what, go for his arm. Go for the football. You can't really hit the quarterback a blindside attack. Knock out the ball. He ended up getting a sack. But we need him to do that more often. He had a couple of quarterback hurries and 2 tackles for a loss. Now, if you look at it, I don't know, small sample size. Considering we played the Dolphins the first time ever in 1970. We're now behind. It was 7-6. Now we're behind 8-6. in the all-time series. And looking at now, the Dolphins on someone in a row, you're getting many roles like this in the NFL. Because I'm telling you, the beginning of the year, the Dolphins were bad. They were like us, the Jets and the Titans. But you look at the Dolphins now, they've won three in a row, and they've won four or five. So, I don't know, they went ugly, but I don't think the Dolphins are a good team, to say the least. It just shows you the parity in the league and what's going to end up, you know, occurring. Now, to go back to Cam and with his couple of sacks, I like to give out history. You know, he tied with Ricky Jackson now in sacks at 128, 17th all-time. You know, when Ricky left the Saints, went to the 49ers, that's why he had... Now, I think I want to say right now, in a Saints uniform, Cam got like 11 or 12 sacks more than Ricky Jackson. If Ricky Jackson's a Pro Football Hall of Fame, so is Cam Jordan. And then he passed up the great Derek Thomas. Hate to say it, he's from Alabama, Crimson Tide, Roll Tide. But he did that with the Chiefs. Remember one game he had like 7 sacks against Dave Craig?
Still a record.
Yeah. And so, but Cam passed him up. You know, when you look at sacks and you look at the production, it was so bad in the first quarter. Our Saints offense had 0 first downs and 21 net yards. Again, what are we going to do how we played the second half? How about we, I like this idea. Why don't we try and play like that for 4 quarters? Oh, Bobby, the defense has something to do with it. Yeah, but you got to do something. Now and then, you can't be over in the first quarter trying to start out. So, no, that's just very frustrating. If you're a defensive player, they're on the field. You want to set the tone. I mean, okay, this is another thing. We're not good enough. We got to win the turnover margin. We're -5 for the season, and we're -1 for the game. Remember I said we got to, I don't know. The Dolphins are bad, too. The Dolphins coming into the game, so you look at the turnover margin. We were -4 coming into the game. They were -5. Well, guess what? They were +1. So now they're -4. So, you know, all those little things when it's two bad teams,
I know
makes a difference.
They'd won 3 of their last 4, and they had been creating turnovers their last couple games.
No, they always been taking it away, like fumbles. You know, remember I told you they're amongst the best, like second best, only behind the Steelers and fumble recovers, but they give it away. You know, so maybe, you know, it all goes back to you. You got to take it away, but also got to protect it. If you do give it up, you got to get 2 back. Well, if you look today, you had a couple of interceptions. You remember when Chuck fumbled in the pocket?
They gave it right back.
So interception. Yeah, I don't know if I've witnessed that in a long time. Boy, you have some kind of momentum. It was kind of like LSU. You remember the quarterback yesterday? We right there throws an interception the first play against Oklahoma. I know, very similar LSU and the Saints offense. But that's going to change with Lane Kiffin, I'm telling you right now.
Two, get on the Lane train.
Yep, I'm just happy. Look, a Shuck sack fumble by Fitzpatrick, then back-to-back two interception by Kool-Aid. So, I don't know, to me that first half was just pitiful, or just frustrated. I wouldn't blame any Saints fans if you stopped watching the game. Oh, maybe let me watch the end. Looks like the Saints have a chance. A recovered onside kick, get kind of momentum. You get so close but so far. Boy, if you don't maybe have that safety score by the Dolphins, who knows? Maybe Mr. Smith might have an opportunity to have a game-winning kick. That 56-yard field goal he made, I don't know, that was, talking about his accuracy, that was right down the middle. That would have been good from 66 yards. No, a strong leg, that's not the problem. But just a very frustrating game. Penalties were not an issue. I like it when referees, officials, they call 9 penalties total. 6 against us, 3 against Miami. I thought Fuaga struggled, you know, coming back. And I don't know, 6 penalties that we had. He might have had 2 or 3 of them, you know, come to think of it. Looking at net punting average, I think punter Kroger finally, maybe because of the competition, and he knew who he had to keep up with. No, Kroger definitely is betting best net punting finally, right at 45 yards, but their punter was even better at 47 and a half yards. Because I had said coming into the game, you know, when you're flipping the field and the hidden yardage, that can make a difference, as Kroger was terrible coming into the game, averaging only 36 net, and their punter was 46 net, that Jake Bailey. So when you break all those liberty things, that makes a difference whether you win or lose. You know, their kicker was perfect. was 4 for 4, Patterson. You know, it's not like, oh, I don't trust him. He's not going to make it. And then that's how the NFL kick has to be. When you have an opportunity to make those kicks, you got to be able to count on those points. Again, you look at, because of the second half, we end up having more first downs than them, 20 to 16. Now, this sucks. It's like but you know what? No, this doesn't suck. The red zone offense. We were 2 for 2, 100%. Well, that's a bright spot. What's not a bright spot and what does suck is our third down offense. Our third down defense is always outstanding. You know, we both gave up 33%. We were 4 of 12 on third down. They were 4 of 12, 33%. So it's the same song and dance for the season. Our defense is doing good on third down. Our offense is not. But like I said, a positive. No, we ran enough plays, 69 plays that looked like that at the beginning. You know, 65 plays is usually that measuring stick when you look at it. Look at a time possession that it was like the same. 29:52 to 30 minutes, 8 seconds. It was like that's basically dead even when you break that down. Now, looking at Vilea, I think, finally, I don't know. You know what I'm saying right now? I always look at targets and receptions. So against Tampa Bay going forward the rest of the game, if I'm Tyler Shuck, I know Chris Olave might want to be the top dog. But Chris Olave got targeted 7 times, made 4 receptions. Vilea got targeted 8 times, made 8 receptions for 96 yards. They both averaged about the same. Both around 12 yards a reception. Vilea had a 15-yard reception, the longest gain. Olave had 17. They both had a touchdown. But I'd give Mr. Vilea more opportunity. That's what we traded him for. So I would say definitely give him an opportunity going forward, that being Kellen Moore in the game plan. But Achane was all cracked up. But what he was cracked up to be, he was. You know, and I thought maybe, you know, because we know we have to stop him, even though we couldn't stop him, because we knew we had to stop Dotto in Carolina, and we did. I wonder what Dotto did today against the Rams, or if he did anything, or it was a little Bryce that got off. You know, that would be interesting, because we stopped Dotto, and then I think overall we stopped Bijan Robinson, but we definitely didn't stop Achane when you look at what all said and done.
It was little Bryce today.
Was Lil Bryce getting it done?
Yeah, he had a 206-yard passing day with 3 TDs.
Oh, okay, so 3 TDs. It wasn't like he threw for 306. Did Dotto do anything, or did he do it by committee?
No, Chuba Hubbard actually had more yards than Dotto today.
Chuba Hubbard, that's that 1-2 punch they
Chuba
have.
Chuba had 83, Rico had 58.
Okay, but you have to look at the total.
Right.
You see the doodle. So bottom line is they ran the ball against the Rams.
Correct.
Against that Rams defense. Looking at, you know, who's a team player, and you might say, well, Bobby, why are you even mentioning him? Because, I don't know, you want to fight and you want to be a pro, Isaac Yiadom. What is Isaac? About a 7-year vet right now. He's from Africa. He's from Ghana, Africa. His parents came to America. He goes to Boston College. Boy, takes advantage of the opportunity. He led the team in special teams tackle. He's not crying and pouting because all of a sudden, you know, we can't play him too much. You know why? Because we want that compensatory pick for Paulson Adebo going to the Giants. Depending on how much Isaac Yiadom plays, that if he doesn't, I don't know the exact formula, but if he doesn't play too much, we got a 4th-round pick. So I think that's why all of a sudden, remember, oh, we got to play the young cornerbacks. But, you know, we have to put in, like, Quincy Riley in there. But Isaac Yiadom ended up leading the team with 2 special teams tackles. But I don't know. It was if you didn't miss the first half, you didn't miss nothing. The second half was highly entertaining. We looked more like an NFL team that can't win games. The first half, we didn't even look like an NFL team. So very discouraging. I don't know. We always play well in Tampa. Who knows? I thought maybe I flip a coin. I thought you'd be like a field goal tie game, and I thought they maybe could beat the Dolphins. But Tampa Bay, how banged up they are? Who's healthy? Who's playing? You know, with Baker with his shoulder and all that. But, I mean, I don't know. The Titans might be. Or at times, is the Jets and Titans worse than us? I'd say the Titans for sure. So I don't know what we could do down the road. I think we will win a couple of more games, but
well, right now, Bobby, according if you look at the records, Tennessee, yes, 1-11. They picked number one overall. We are tied with the New York Giants with the 2-10 record, and we currently have the number two pick in the NFL.
Well,
draft.
No, how can we have the number two if we tie with the Giants? We beat them head to head. We can't have the number two pick.
Their strength of schedule record is tougher than ours.
Even though we beat them?
Yeah, it shows us with a 498.
But yeah, but don't you go head to head?
Draft works.
It's not head to head, Charlie.
Right.
Oh, okay. I know, but the Giants turn over the ball. And anyway. We lose that turnover margin again. We're not good enough to do that. But, yeah, I want to hear from you folks, Houdat Nation.
Oh, they're lined up, Cannon.
Yeah, we got to hear from them because, no, I mean, it's like you want to run everybody out of town after that first half. And then they give you a little bit of hope. But the bottom line is you got to win the game. If you don't win, then it's an empty second half victory.
We're going to pause 10 seconds right now. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. You can sound off with the Cajun Cannon, folks, 504-260-1870. We're going to come back with more of The Point After right after this. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Back here on The Point After, you can sound off with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, 504-260-1870, after the Saints lose in Miami 21-17. Cajun Cannon, first up on The Point After, Steve in Monterey wanting to sound off. What you got for us today on The Point After, Steve?
Hey, guys. Alante Taylor made a business decision on that touchdown.
Oh, I forgot to bring that up. Oh, God, I'm glad. Steve, you got to comment on that, and I want to comment on that, too. Go ahead.
Yeah, they need to put some accountability. And then the other thing is the referees, man, that was an interception. How did they not give him the interception? That's a problem, man. I mean, it's not a fair league if they're taking away the interception that the guy got. So
yeah, it looked like his hand was under the ball. I mean, I don't know. Can you overrule or no? I think Kellen Moore even wanted to challenge that. I don't know. I thought it was an interception too. But talking about Alante Taylor, he's supposed to be our alpha dog DB. And Deuce even brought that up. At times, secondary, we're way too inconsistent in tackling. Man, it's like we couldn't even, if it was two-hand touch, sometimes we couldn't get down H-hand. I know Sanker one time, he got like barely touched him with one hand, and he's right in position, he's squaring up. And he did run the fastest 40. Steve, didn't you look up on the combine?
Yeah, they showed that on the TV broadcast.
Yeah, faster than all them cats that's in the NFL. H-hand can hit it and get it. But then Alante Taylor looks like what the fix is on. It was the very first drive. They go six plays, 69 yards, 3 minutes, 41 seconds to take a 7-0 lead. And that was a 29-yard touchdown run, the longest splash play. H-hand frozen. I'm like, Alante Taylor, what the F are you doing?
That was a lot of people on social media.
It was like a business decision. What is his shoulder maybe hurt? You don't want to tackle him? He's just like,
I think they got to bench him.
He ran right by him. I like, if I'm the defensive back coach, I'm going over that field in the film room. I go, Alante, what are you doing? You're right there in position to make the tackle. It's like you didn't even want to hit him. I haven't seen a play like that in a while, Steve, as far as a defensive player and the effort to make a tackle. Were you thinking the same way as me? How can he? Now, you could hit him and miss the tackle. No, he just ran a position and didn't even, like, touch him. I don't know.
Well, I think what was frustrating is after he misses the tackle, he kind of shrugs like, oh, shucks. Like, it's not even a big deal. Where I say you got to take him out. You got to take him out for a half, take him out for a full game, and say, hey, dude, you go sit down, you learn how to play, then we'll bring you back in.
You know what's the only thing about a lot of times benching NFL players? You have a limited roster. And then who are you counting on? Well, you might say, well, Bobby just treated like he would have got injured. And you already have the young guy in Sanker in there. Put Terrell Burgess. To see if Terrell Burgess, the fifth-year veteran, see if he's going to maybe attempt to make a tackle. No, I was disappointed in Alante Taylor, and he's another one, like Chris Olave, that wants to get paid.
Right.
You want to get paid and you have a contract year? You can't make those kind of plays.
What's going on, man?
Effort, and if you miss the tackle, but it's like, what? What, he didn't? Now, I know he's fast. He ain't that fast, but he act like he didn't even see him. And he just lets him run right by him and doesn't even touch him. No, I was flabbergasted. I was like, I was cussing then, I have to admit. And it was like, and that was that 29-yard splash play.
You mentioned with Olave wanting to get paid, he lets a ball go through his hands too.
Yeah, hello. Yep. A game-winning play potentially, probably the game winner. You're going to come back, great comeback, and you want to get paid, be the $25 million receiver. You want to be wide receiver one, not two, not three, but one. You got to make that play.
Want that one money.
Yeah, you want. Yeah, exactly. No, I don't know. When I look at sometimes our roster and our players, I guess you can look at it a number of teams. But right now, the guy that we're counting on, as far as when I look at it, how many other teams would want your players? Now, you could say they might want you for depth, but I'm talking about like a starter. As good as like Chris Olave at Dallas, you think he'd be the one or two receiver? Hell no. The Rams would be the one or two receiver. You go through a lot of the rosters, he'd be a lot of teams two, some teams three. I don't think he'd be nobody's one. So look at that. Now, the
49ers.
Yeah, the
49ers.
Because they have a head case in Ayuk. Whatever. I did that on a triple option. Charlie, what was I said the other day? It was like something like $27 million he gave up guarantee because he didn't want to go to meetings or work out in the summer. He's an idiot. Who's his mom and dad and all? What in the world is Ayuk doing? What, he's an Arizona State kid? That's about a diva, a spoiled rotten, to give up that kind of money. But again, the guy that we would say could start off for every team, whether it's center, guard or center, would be Eric McCoy. But now, talk about the pressure next year for him. Now it's been two seasons. What he's played, half the season last year, half the season this year. So hopefully it doesn't turn into like a ram check. Oh, you know, I'm just snake bit. I'm getting hurt. So right now, when I just look across the board, the guys that are producing and always answer the bell, how many games does Cam Jordan and DeMario Davis miss? Aren't they always playing? I don't know. I mean, but they're the older players. We need some young cats. We need young cats when I'm reading the numbers and what we're doing, having the production. We need, like, you know, Pete Werner, which I don't, maybe we didn't keep the right linebacker when you look at all that.
Chase Young seems to do something, and he's kind of young.
Yeah, he's kind of young, but he's like the, he makes a sack. Okay, I did enough of this game. I'm producing. He's impactful, but I think he could be even better.
Right.
But yeah, Chase Young is one that could, yeah, he can get after the quarterback. But look, he missed the beginning of the season. But because I thought, watching him in OTA's minicamp, training camp, I go, Chase Young could get double-digit sacks. Remember when I was saying, oh, he'll get 10, 11, 12 sacks, but then I didn't know his calf. He's going to miss the first five games. But then this is when you need someone else having impactful plays besides DeMario Davis and Cam Jordan. And then, I don't know, who's making impactful plays on offense? Well, I know this game, he wasn't even on the damn team in an offseason or training camp. Hmm. Look at all the players who played today, and I'm like, who's impactful? We got any Pro Bowlers out there? And the Pro Bowl's not the Pro Bowl anymore, you know? But, I mean, no. So you want to know why we only have two wins? Well, I don't know, that personnel.
Black and gold falling to the Miami Dolphins, 21-17, now 2-10 on the season. We're going to be back with more of your calls in the Cajun Cannons Take right after this. Stay tuned on The Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on The Point After, we can sound off with the Cajun Cannon, 504-260-1870. Your calls are lined up after the Black and Gold lose 21-17 in Miami. Going to get right to you. Hector, you're first up right now in New Orleans. What you got to say here on The Point After, Hector?
Man, I'm tired of beating a dead horse, but I'm going to have to do it again. Our offensive line is terrible. It sucks. We make poor decisions, penalty, misassignment at critical times. Whatever we're doing in the first half, Bobby, it ain't working.
No, it's terrible.
I don't know. I don't know what the coach has got to do, but you need to ask him why all of a sudden guys are starting to wake up after the second half to try to do something. This ain't preseason, you know?
Right.
This is for real.
Exactly.
This
you got to know that's a joke. The first quarter, how we've been outscored. I mean, we always chasing points. I mean, and you know what's even worse than that, Hector? Now, I know we might say, well, on the road, but no, we do that at home, too. How can the dome, you truly have dome field advantage of the crowd get into the game if you're behind? Well, they're not just going to be screaming to be screaming. No, it's like when we play at home, we're not winning in the first quarter. I'm not even talking about scoring on the first drive. I'm just talking about winning in the first quarter.
Yeah, at least get 3 points in the first quarter.
Right,
I mean,
right.
I don't care how you do it. Just get three points or get a couple of first downs. Don't wait till like the middle of the second quarter to get a first down.
Yeah, we've been outscored, Victor. So Hector, it's almost like 5-1, 92-19. I mean, I've never seen nothing like it. And then it gets to the point. Well, the first quarter is over, and I don't know, a drive? We ain't even got a first down. How are we going to have a drive? So, bad.
I mean, I see something with Valet, but my thing is that how come we didn't start to use him until late in the second half? Is what? He woke up and say, oh, hey, let's go ahead, let's try this. I mean, it's like, I don't know. I have to question some of the play calling to
right.
a degree.
Yeah, and how he's being coached to get the ball to Valet. All I know is I look at opportunities. And so, therefore, what I mean by opportunities is targets. So, again, Chris Olave was targeted 7 times, 4 catches, 47 yards. Valet, 8 targets, 8 catches, 93 yards. I'd be extremely disappointed if Valet against Tampa Bay, it rhymes, I like that, Valet against Tampa Bay is not targeted at least 8 or 9 times. He's a big receiver, and just see what happens. What we have to lose, we ain't winning, so... I don't know. You got him in a trade. You got him in a trade. You want to see if we can get the most out of him.
And, gentlemen,
gave up something. You gave up something for him.
Right, exactly.
Also use him. And yeah. Also, to your previous caller, Alante Taylor and Chris Olave, I don't even think they will even be a team's second option because that's just ridiculous. We know Alante Taylor has been doing this for a while. We also know Chris Olave has been doing this for a while. And my thing is that you want to be an alpha male, man, you got to start acting like one.
Amen.
You got to make that play.
Hey, man, you got to be an alpha dog. You got to be the man. No, you can't be like, oh, like hit your chest. Oh, my bad. I wish you I could show you a visual. I hate when players do that. You know, they hit my, like, oh, man, my bad. Man, you should be so, it ain't going to happen again. So frustrated. And the same thing, I don't know, maybe I'm too old school with this. I got to read this text, Hector. You're going to like it. This is from 7597. It goes, Bobby, after Fuaga got called with a two-point false start, and he came off the field, and assistant coach came over to him, probably said, like, man, like, you know, man, come on, we can't have that, whatever. Came over to him, and he just waved the coach off. I don't know. You got to respect your coaches. I don't care if it's man-to-man. You can't be waving your coach off.
Maybe it was a scenario where they were concerned over him being hurt, and he was saying, I'm okay.
I don't know what happened. Right, I'm just saying if it's because...
Well, that's what it looked like because he was limping back to the sideline.
There you go.
Yeah, he was limping? Oh.
Yeah, he was limping back.
Okay, so it wasn't like he jumped offside. Coach, I don't want to hear you. Okay, I got you.
But still, though, he had a rough game. I mean, let's face it, Tyler Shuck was running. Most of, if you look at it, you were right. We were 2-for-2 in the red zone. But you know why we were 2-for-2 in the red zone? Because Tyler Shuck was running for his life, and then he threw the ball, and he made, there was two good passes and two good catches.
Yeah. No, but we still horrendous on third down. 30-some percent. That, we've been outstanding on defense on third down, but offense, no, the same song and dance for the season.
I'm going to tell you, if before the season ends, if we outrush a team, both in third down and our third down efficiency on offense is better than the other teams, and we outrush them, I'm going to go buy myself a lotto ticket.
That'd be impressive. Oh, maybe we took baby steps. We're heading in the right direction. And again, we're not that good. I mean, we have no margin for error. You can't be -1 turnover margin. You know, somehow... Well, look, the first game we won this year. No, and we should have crushed the Giants. We were +5. Well, when did we win that game? 9 points? We should have won by 3 touchdowns or something. So that
shows you how inept the offense is.
Well, it shows you if I guarantee you. Let's say if we -1 against the Titans or the Jets, no, we might lose if we're not on the plus side. We're not that good to overcome that.
Taking a break here on The Point After. Saints losing 21-17 at Miami. Venture Global donating $10 per Saints receiving yard to their Catch for the Coast program. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to their world. After today's game, their current donation's $33,810. Be back with more of your calls on The Point After right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Back here on the Saints Point After, brought to you by McDonald's on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. The Black and Gold losing at Miami 21-17, going right to our talk and text line where you can sound off with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, 504-260-1870. Going to go to Houston where Zoe's on the line. Zoe, what you got tonight on the Point After?
Hey, man, how you guys doing, man?
All right, Zoe.
I just think, man, Kelly Moore's personality was on full display today in the play calling. And the effort of the players, breaking tackles, one after the catch, tackles, and running down a player. That take effort, man. And Kelly Moore just too
laid back
going for me, bro.
He's too laid back.
And one more thing, Bobby. One more thing. In the first scripted 15 plays about opposition been killing the Saints all season. Bro.
Amen. No, and that should be the other way around. Hey, so. Sean Payton and Drew Brees, they would take the other teams and their defense to school. I'm not saying you got to score on every drive, but you can't start a game 3-and-out, 3-and-out, 3-and-out. No, you game plan the whole week and you have a script to attack the defense and you can break down the percentage of what they're playing. And no, it's just the other way. Now, defensively, he said, okay, this is what the Saints are probably going to do. So, yeah, Kellen Moore and all, they getting schooled on the game plan for the week to start the game. So that's a great point, because that's exactly what's happening. And it's not a small sample size. It's the whole damn season.
Whole season.
Yeah. No, and Kellen Moore, you know, I don't know. You don't have to rant and rave and all that, but I like a coach with a little emotion. And I'd always say this, like, jokingly, I was talking with T-Bob about this, is that, I don't know, Kellen Moore can't be that composed. Maybe he is. I don't know. I said, I don't want to talk to maybe his wife or kids. Does your dad ever get mad or talk to his wife? Because sometimes you look at Kellen Moore, I don't know if we're winning or losing. You know Sean Payton? Now, Sean Payton can be out there a little bit, but I think the fans appreciate that passion.
And
I'm not saying that. And the players respond to that. You're right, Zoe's human nature.
Right. They carry the personality of the coach.
Yeah, I don't know. We're too laid back. It's like almost right now. You know what it's like? I got to find this. We had a nice text. I'm going to find it later. But you know what it's like right now? That if we get off to a slow start, and you know it's like, and it looks like the Saints are going to get blown out, that they respond and go, man, we're getting embarrassed. And then they come back, they fight hard, and we lost the game, but, you know, we showed some fight. How many times do you hear Kellen Moore say, well, players didn't give up? Hell, I'd rather them give up and we win than, you know, now that wouldn't happen. But how all of a sudden, you know, oh, man, we're getting embarrassed. We don't really like we belong on the field. Then they respond a little bit. Then it's so close but so far. No, it's been a handful of games where, and we're right there. How many times are we going to hear Kellen Moore say the rest of the season, oh, we're right there, we're doing things the right way, we're just not getting the results. I don't know, and Kellen Moore, he gets a bunch of abbreviations for stuff. Like, Steve, give me some examples like we'd say.
Opportunities, ops.
Instead of opportunities, ops. I don't know, say opportunity. Or give people like initial nicknames and all.
Chris Olave is just CO.
CO. I don't know. People might not know who's CO. You can say Olave or Chris, whatever. CO, yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's a young people thing.
And just Valet, I think he just said Zvay.
Vay or something, yeah. And give or ops. And opportunities, yeah. But you know the point we're making. You can do what you want if you win.
We just want TDs.
TDs like in touchdowns. Now, if you say TDs, we know what TD is, a touchdown. Now, give us more of that. And the bottom line is if you win, you could be a jerk. If you don't win, it doesn't
matter. It all, right?
It doesn't matter if you're a jerk or you're a nice person. You got to just win. And we don't make the rules. It's just the way it is. It's pro football or pro sports. I don't care. The Pelicans too, whatever it is. You know, did you win or lose? And then, so it's just very frustrating because when you don't win, they have some casual football fans, you know, they say, oh, well, look at the coach. It doesn't really bother him. And it could be eating him up inside. You know, and maybe he goes home, he don't even want to talk to his wife. You know, honey, I'm trying to stay focused. Got to burn the midnight oil. Then she might come back and say, well, I think you're wasting a lot of time because y'all not getting off to a fast start. All that time you're putting in during the week to get off to a fast start at the beginning of the game. Maybe you just need to put in the same time you put in at halftime because we kind of turn it around after halftime in the second half. You know, maybe spur of the moment, sense of urgency. Why don't we have that sense of urgency at the beginning of the game and make the other team panic? You know, man, look at the Saints. They came out smoking. No. You know what happens when you're not a good team and you're always behind? You tend to get discouraged. Human nature again. Oh, no, here we go again. Here we go again. How many fans probably will watch the beginning of this game? I'm not watching this crap. And they go run an errand, go do something else.
Right, forget points. We can't even get a first.
No, yeah. How are you going to score if you can't get a first? Well, how we scored, we know against Atlanta, pick six, because the offense didn't score. I mean, I would take right now, if we're not going to win, just to be something different. And maybe, how about let's flip it one time? Let's have a great first half, a great first quarter, then we choke the second half and give it away.
Don't say that.
No, but I'm just saying if we're going to lose, just do something different. get off to a fast start. So, oh, maybe that's a good thing. Now, boy, now we're getting off to a fast start. Maybe we could do that in the second half like we did in the past and play a complete game. I just want something different. It's the same thing every game.
My number one thing I'm rooting for right now is an opening drive touchdown from the Saints.
Yes, and then if we can
build off of that from there.
Yeah, we'll build off from there, and I don't know, have a little celebration, and then we'll hoot and holler and shoot off like, you know, those party poppers. We do that at halftime, at a halftime show. Oh, look, we're winning.
Yeah, I can't
at
be
half.
Celebrating. Oh, thankfully they finally got their first down of the game.
Yeah. No, it's like, no, I'd say this at halftime. Somebody is going to make or come up with the concept like who that nation, I don't know, I want to bring down the who that nation. Saints offensive theme, like on their T-shirt, or this is a Saints offensive theme. Just make some T-shirts, three and out.
See, now they're going to have Saints fans with three and out shirts, and they're going to say, Cage and Cannon made us, they had him no. Inspire us, make these.
No, and then you could put, it's not too much verbiage. You could put three and out.
No,
and,
we don't
and,
want
and
that,
And then
though.
In parentheses, put, don't you have to score to win?
No.
Well, but that's what kind of happens. It's like, I don't know, it's like to beat Atlanta. Don't we have to score offensively? And I mean by score is at least 20 points. I'm telling you, we about like LSU's offense. Or did this season. I don't know if I told you this. It was so frustrating. I don't know if I've ever witnessed in the same season LSU and the Saints offense be so inept in scoring.
It has been a rough football season
and
for
scoring.
That Cajun Cannon.
And this day and age, the rules are structured for the offense to help them score points. No, it's like, oh, no. It's like, God forbid, 30? It'd be like, no. It's like, let's celebrate.
We're going to take a break here on The Point after the Saints losing 21-17 at the Miami Dolphins. We'll be back with your calls and the Cajun Cannon's take right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on The Point After, with every Saints field goal, Keesler Federal is donating $1,000 to the New Orleans Women's and Children's Shelter. This year, Keesler Federal has donated $19,000. The Saints losing 21-17 at Miami. You can sound off with the Cajun Cannon, 504-260-1870 here on The Point After. Next up, Delco wants to talk to the Bobby. What you got for us tonight, Delco?
What's up, soldiers?
Hey, man, what's up, Delco? How you been? I ain't heard from you in a while. You been just hanging low or what?
Yeah, man. I decided to go without putting a bag on my head. So
okay. Yeah, that's all right. I don't know. The bag thing, once you win a Super Bowl, I don't know. Them days are
nah,
over.
You better not come in with a bag, man. I just want to put my two cents in like everybody else, man, you know.
Okay.
Chris, on the fourth down play, when they had the fourth and two. I mean, you as a quarterback coaching the Saints right now. I mean, okay, I'm going to say you is Tyler Shuck. Would you audible on that play?
Well, it depends.
I mean, you can see the line. They were piled up. Well, they was piled up, man.
Yeah, it depends how much leeway the coach gives. I'm sure Tyler Shuck's just right now doing whatever the coach asked him to do. But, yeah, if you have experience, a lot of times you have that leeway as a veteran NFL quarterback to check to a better play.
Yeah, but I see Devin Neal. I think he's going to be a great future with the Saints because he makes me mind of Pierre Thomas a lot.
Man, he ain't as good as Pierre Thomas. He got to do something first.
Just my opinion.
But he got to do something first.
The litter of him,
okay,
what he's doing, as making runs and getting into space, you know, stuff like that. So I understand Pierre Thomas, one of our great players.
One of the greatest screen runners of all time.
Give him some props. So my deal is that another thing Chris Olave, man, you know, I'm looking at the replay, man. I'm looking at that catch, man. I said, man, why he didn't catch it? He catch everything else. But he just didn't catch that pass. The one that you needed the most, he didn't catch it. And on the interception, I think that the referees blew that call. Bobby, just hear your comment, man. And how you doing, man? And good luck with your bro. And good to hear your voice, man. And who that nation? Just hold your head up, guys. Hold your head up, guys. We're going to be all right.
Thank you, Delco.
Yeah, I don't know. I got a couple of texts, few texts. And they go, Bobby, is Chris Olave scared to get hit? I don't know. At times it looks like that. I think he's very talented. I think human nature does come into play, those concussions that he's had and trying to avoid hits. I just know when he runs, I'd be shocked if I ever saw Chris Olave catch a pass and break a tackle or two. Or just break one tackle. No, he's like catching and he's kind of going down. He ain't getting no yak and stuff. And he has the ability. He's fast. Look over the top when he beat one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL, J.C. Horn, against Carolina. But he's not that one you could trust. No, that's why I say Bele is the guy across the middle and has a bigger frame that I would definitely target. And why not? I mean, we haven't – just see what we got in him. Like, again, I bring up Bele, 8 targets, 8 catches, 93 yards. Olave, 7 targets, 4 catches. And, you know, they're going to want to feed Chris Olave. I'll tell you, I don't know whether you agree to this or not, but the Saints are going to pay Chris Olave. And I think it's going to be around $25 million. And you might want to protest that. But I think that's how much they believe in him. You might not believe in him. I might not believe in him that much. He is an NFL receiver. And like I said, he can be everybody's 2. On some teams, he would be the 3. But I don't know if he's nobody's 1. But he might be the Saints. It only takes one team. And if the Saints pay him. But all I know is, they got no receivers? Come on. I played with Mark Super Duper. Set all the records with Dan Marino when they can hit the quarterbacks. 5,000 yards. The great Anthony Carter, AC. Eric Martin. Bad Moon Rising, Andre Rising. I threw him 15 touchdown passes one season. So I think I know a little bit about who you can count on as a receiver. Again, Chris Olave is good. I don't know if he's great. There's a difference.
Black and gold, 21-17 loss at Miami, folks. We're here on The Point After. You can sound off with the Cajun Cannon, 504-260-1870. We'll be back with more right after this. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Week 13 ends with another loss for the Saints. They fall in Miami, 21-17 to the Dolphins. Black and gold now at 2-10 on the season. The Dolphins improving to 5-7. Cajun Cannon.
So wait, you say 2-10. Now we're officially out of the playoffs?
That is true
playoffs!
As well. Officially eliminated from playoff contention.
Officially eliminated. So you know what we got to take a couple of texts with this too. The famous say, you know what's the most famous saying? Wait till next year.
There you go.
On the second most famous, hey, Bobby, who are we going to draft? You know, Buddy D used to tell me that. Hey, Bobby, they call, hey, Bobby, who are we going to draft?
And right now we're drafting number 2 overall.
Yeah, we're number 2 overall. Who knows? We're going to play the Titans. We got to still play the Jets. We don't know how it's going to unfold. And the key is, though, you can have all this draft capital. Are you picking the right players? You know, because it's not an exact science. You hear that all the time. Are we going to get...
Like back in the day, good old Bill Parcells says, who's picking those groceries?
Yeah, who's picking... that's a good point, Steve. Who's picking those groceries? And we got to have more... Okay, who's the monumental drafts, like, post-Katrina? You always talk about, like, pre-post-Katrina. Was it... Charlie, what, off the top of my head, it was two drafts. It was 2006...
2017.
The 2017 and the 2006 one, is that what it is?
Right.
Yeah. Well, we need to have like, because that's like two decades. Instead of two, we need at least a handful or half a dozen.
Well, if we could get the offensive and defensive rookie in the year in a draft, that'd be pretty darn impressive.
Yeah, yeah, pretty darn impressive. I know I can tell you right now, since we have dressed the offensive line, even though offensive line obviously has not lived up to expectations considering all the first round draft picks.
Yeah.
Is that if we had a top five pick and we draft another offensive lineman, I think there might be a revolt. The Houdat Nation would they'd have a coup. Where we go over to take over on airline highway. I think they'd probably said, can we not find an impactful, like skilled player? Charlie, I think you would agree with that.
You know, Charlie's dying for a tight end.
Yeah, like. Look at the tight end, and Charlie was on that, the tight end from Penn State with the Colts, Warren.
Tyler Warren, right.
Yeah. I mean, so look at the impact. So I don't know. All I know is that when, if we pick it in the top five, I think the fans would just, I'm not watching the rest of the draft. We pick a damn lineman again.
It could be a quarterback. Who knows?
Yeah, that's the jury's still out on Tyler Shuck. You know, up and down. I think y'all played Tua, but that ain't saying much. And speaking of stealing money, how much Tua is making, Steve told me?
$52 million a year.
Does Tua look like a $52 million a year quarterback? I don't think so.
What would the Cajun Cannon look like if Tua is a $52 million quarterback?
No, I mean, I don't know. Reputation come out of Alabama, but I'm not bitter. I sound bitter. but yeah, I mean, no, it's just the market. I guess the Dolphins are stupid for paying him that much. You know, but Tua, no, I was like, I would rather have Tyler Shuck than Tua, I can tell you that. I just think Tua is very, very limited. And he's another one that's limited, too, I think, because of all the concussions he had.
Sure.
I'm not saying he's scared, but I guess I am saying he's scared. I think Chris Olave, too. You're going to invest all that money in him dealing with those concussions? Does Olave truly look like he wants to go across the middle? I don't know. So that's why I let Belay go across the middle and let Chris Olave stretch the field vertically.
Checking in on our talking text line where you can sound off with the Cajun Cannon, 504-260-1870. We got Hollywood and Thibodeau sounding off. Hollywood, what you bringing tonight on the Point After?
Hey, Bob, hey, Steve, how y'all making out?
All right, Hollywood Swinger, what you got?
Hey, Bob, I watch a lot of Saints football in my life, but that first half was garbage.
No, it was horrendous. I mean, I even got, you know, we kind of joke. I'm not saying I've seen enough. I got a honey-do list. I'm going to go grocery shopping. My wife wants me to go do this or, you know, it ain't really been cold one time. I don't know. I'm just going to cut the grass to be cutting the grass to do something.
Well, I watched a little bit of the Texas Indianapolis Colts game. That was a pretty good game. Watch a little bit of that the first half.
Yeah. So, yeah, you flip over and you do something else. Or that one fan that texted and said, Bobby, I said, okay, I'm not watching this anymore. And they went do some volunteer work. So I guess they wanted to feel good about themselves, you know, volunteering. We all need volunteers and stuff. So, yeah, no. And sometimes I think, and look, I turned 65 in August. And I wake up early in the morning. I get, you know, I do a lot of work to pregame. Then you watch game, postgame. Say, man, you know, once you start getting that Medicare birthday going forward, you have only, you know, the years go by fast, the days and everything. Man, you think, man, I just wasted 10 hours doing all this? Boy, that's when you kind of check yourself. Okay, well, what am I doing? Because the bottom line is, as Americans, we love winners. We love winners. And yeah, the Saints aren't winning right now, and it's just frustrating. Yeah, go ahead.
How about Charlie Smith making that big kick, 56-yard in the rain, off the grass, on the roll? Pretty good.
Well, I'll tell you, in practice, he's made 70-yarders. He's the type kicker, but what I like it was straight and true. You know, it wasn't like, oh, he barely snuck in. Because I'm telling you, we've seen him kick. That kick would have been good from 66 yards plus. If you look where it hit, how high it was still climbing, 56 yards. Now, what he has to avoid, and, you know, maybe you work on your technique, is you don't want to, like, be making those big kicks like that. And then early in training camp, where Groupie had the edge, he was missing those, like, a 38-yarder. And then Groupie was always making those. And you have to think, that's why you should want to kick for the Saints if you're any kicker. You know why? Half your games are in the dome. You're not dealing with inclement weather. Like a worse team that kicked for would be Buffalo or like Cleveland. You know, like look at York. You went to Cleveland, got drafted in the fourth round by them. No, then you got to play to win and dealing with the weather. But you should want to be a Saints kicker because you're kicking in the dome. Anybody with a controlled environment, no, then you got to be a pro. You got to be like a robot. You got to be automatic. You got to make it. That kicker for the Dolphins, didn't he look automatic? Patterson? I mean, I never one time, oh, the kicker, the field goal, he'll make it. I was almost just walking away. Huh. And it didn't even come close to look like he was going to miss. He ended up being 4-for-4. Now, I think the Dolphins played a little too conservative. You know, like, then in the first half, they didn't even try and score. Remember, they didn't even push it to the end zone? They are, you know, I guess they don't trust Tua, so they just took the points and the field goal. I mean, look at the Dolphins. Even though what they've won, three in a row, four in the last five, the Dolphins, I still don't think, are a good team.
They just happened to play us.
Yeah, well, and they play well at home. The one game, I was like, you know how you're shocked like when you see a game every weekend, and that was Carolina beating the Rams? Well, Buffalo was kind of in a row, and they went to Miami, and they got shellacked. They crushed the Bills. So you have those freakish games. But Miami usually plays, you know, well at home in Miami. But I don't know. They almost was playing not to lose when you look at how the game unfolded.
Let's pause 10 seconds right now, folks. We're going to let stations identify themselves right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. 21-17 is the final in Miami. The Saints losing now 2-10 on the season. You can sound off on the Point After with the Cajun Cannon. That's 504-260-1870. We shall return with even more of the Point After right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Point After. Who dats? The Saints losing 21-17 at Miami, week 13. Going to get right into your calls. You can sound off 504-260-1870. And Sam in Gonzalez, you are up next on the Point After. What's going on tonight, Sam?
All right. How y'all doing? I got a question. I thought when we hired Kellen Moore, we were supposed to get an offensive-minded coach. I don't see nothing offensive on that fourth and one. The whole Miami defense knew he was running a quarterback sneak. Why not pitch it out or slip a tight end out of something? And then when you got third and seven or third and six, the receivers run a five-yard pattern. Shouldn't you run beyond the first down mark in case when you catch it, you get hit? At least you make the first down. There's no offensive mind in him. You know?
First-year
coach getting fired.
Well, it happens in the NFL. I don't think I think the Saints would be patient. I don't think that would happen. You know, six, seven, eight coaches get fired every year. A couple of them already got fired. Who got fired already? So it was the Titans, the Giants, right?
Correct. Dable's gone.
So a couple of them. So, yeah, six, seven, eight coaches get fired every year. I think they'll give I don't think we're going to turn around the season, so he will be on the hot seat next year. And the bottom line is you have to win. Now, as far as throwing under the sticks, it all depends what kind of route you're running. Now, the one thing when you throw it under the sticks in the position of defender versus the receiver, it's all about the angle and the leverage. And Drew Brees, that's where you have to be utmost accurate, throwing away from the defender so a receiver could turn it up, and you trust the quarterback. That where you're placing the ball to me, that's where you want me to head north and south and not be dancing around. Then in theory, you can have a third and five and throw it 4 yards and still get a first down and get a couple of yards of yak. Now, it does matter when you're running quarterback sneak up the middle, and we're not stout on the interior. We have two journeymen, our left guard, our center, and our right guard, first-round draft pick Cesar Ruiz, plays like a journeyman. So we have no power up front to be able to knock people off the ball. Look, we're on the half-yard line against Atlanta. David Onyemata, who's a former Saint now with Atlanta, he was whipping our butt in the middle. So, no, at point of attack, Kellen Moore's calling plays for the Eagles. Remember how stout they were in the interior last year? And, like, even the center does make a difference. You know, all of a sudden you look at a team like the Lions, and the Lions aren't as good as they were in offensive line. Because, oh, one of the better offensive lines. And I think I just read he just, like, failed his physical again to come back.
The center, right.
Yeah, what's his name?
Ragnow, right.
Yeah, Ragnow. That's a Viking. That's a bad son of a gun. And him not being that center for the Lions, no, it's a big difference. So when you look at, like, play calling, if you run a simple play and it works, oh, the coach knows what he's doing. No, he's trusting the personnel, and then they're whipping the guy in front. Well, the Saints aren't that good to do that. I don't know if Kellen has enough imagination to be able to overcome maybe the lack of talent like our team versus their team. Okay, you look, right now I would kind of take a time sneaky Pete Carmichael to call plays. You know, like Sean Payton Jr. and Sean brought him back to Denver. You know, that trust factor there. But when you're looking at like calling plays and as far as execution, you look at Kubiak right now. Okay, when you say that, I would think Coach Kubiak's doing a pretty good job, right? But would you say what he's doing with that Seattle Seahawks offense? And we were ready to run him out of town. The bottom line is all about execution and what are you doing. And again, we were good today in the red zone. We were 2 for 2.
Also, the guys you got, too.
Yes, but you look at the Saints in the red zone, the woes that we've had. And, you know, we kind of joke, the red zone is like the dead zone, you know, for the Saints. But today it was not so much. But, you know, where you go to die. But the Saints often decide the 20-yard line. Do you know coming into this game, we had scored touchdowns just on 34.5% of the time when they reached the red zone. That's dead last in the National Football League, 32. You know what they did last year? You know what they scored in the red zone with Coach Kubiak? Basically, a lot of the same players. They were 58%. That's a big difference. 35% to 58%. So, yeah, you look at the play callers and our execution. So, no, to say that Kellen Moore was a genius hire, I would say slow your roll. Come on. Well, Bobby, you got to give him a chance. But it's the same thing when you're doing a post-game press conference. It's like, well, I like the direction we're heading, and we're learning from our mistakes and all that. Well, it's the same thing week after week. And one texter called in, by the time we're learning from what we're doing wrong to get better, we should be geniuses. We should have perfection. But a lot of times what we're reflecting on from a negative standpoint, well, I saw the same thing last week. I saw the same thing in October. I saw the same thing in September. Well, now we're going into December. Are we maybe going to see something change? Are we still going to suck on third down, converting plays, and getting off the fast starts? I don't know. I got to wait and see what's going to happen. But right now, you say, it doesn't look that way.
Folks, American Safety, for each point scored by the Saints this season, American Safety is going to donate $50 to disaster relief. American Safety, stronger than the storm, on right here with you. We're going to take a break here on The Point After. Saints losing 21-17 in Miami. Be back with more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're back here on The Point After the Saints lose a 21-17 Week 13 matchup in Miami. We've already heard from head coach Kellen Moore. Now let us hear what Saints rookie quarterback Tyler Shuck had to say after the black and gold lost this one in Miami today.
I was just really proud of our resiliency kind of throughout it. You know, we started off too slow. Just got to shore up some of the execution-wise, and was just kind of proud of how we battled the whole way, and it just sucks, losing. And you know, we got to find a little ways to kind of keep getting better. I think we're progressing well and just got to shore it up.
What are the emotions like where, you know, you guys are down? The touchdown, the two-point attempt, and then the onside kick. Mm-hmm. How do you kind of keep calm in that situation, or were you not calm? Like, how were you at the time?
No, I was good. I think everybody was good. Had the same mindset. It was like, we get an opportunity, we're gonna go out there and attack. And I think just defense, special teams wise, they did a really good job. We got to find a way as an offense to kind of be more complimentary that way. And I was just, like I said, was proud of kind of how we stayed pretty even keel and battled the whole way. And you know, it sucks whenever you're not starting the way you want to. And but I think we had a good mindset, and that was kind of the attitude. Just it's gonna pop. It's gonna break open. You know, we're executing. You know, not well, but I think everything was there, and we saw it. You know, we saw it, and knew we were gonna get our chances.
You think the tempo helped in the second half?
For sure, yeah, for sure. I think being able to attack and kind of get them on their heels, obviously, you know, helped. I think we were moving it well, operating well, and just kind of, you know, find what, you know, how we can duplicate it. You know, be able to play fast, but also change the tempo sometimes. And I think it's stuff to build off of for sure.
We were just talking to Devon about the big day that he's had, mm-hmm. and just kind of the connection that you two have kind of had to build, you know, since he's got here. How just assess how he played today, and just how he was one of the big targets for you.
Yeah, he came up big. Just, I mean, for him, you know, he's super smart. You know, I think he has a great feel with his routes. I think he does a really good job. I mean, he's catching everything. Some of the ball placements would have liked to have it been better, and he's making some really good big time catches. And so I was really proud of him. And I think there's stuff to kind of continue to grow off with all those guys. I think. A lot of guys stepped up, you know, Mason Tipton, Dante Pettis, Kevin, you know, Evan and Audric, you know, kind of thrust into a new role. And I think everybody kind of responded that way. And we just kind of have to figure out, you know, how we can be more dialed in on some of those scenarios. And but I was really proud of Devon just because I think he's such a key player for us.
Walking through that 2-point conversion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it just sucks because, you know, I had everything we wanted there, and he made a really good play, just kind of undercutting it. Was like to maybe put out in front a little bit more, but had to get out of my hands, and just a really good play. So it's obviously roller coaster of emotions there, but you know, it's part of it, and so yeah, it sucks, and you know, we'll find a way to kind of get it in there.
About the other interception?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just miscommunication. Was going to him the whole way, and you know, broke out and thought he was going to take, you know, one more step or keep going, and it just sucks. You know, I think we're driving the ball and just had a miscommunication with him, and but you know, proud of how he kind of continued to fight back.
Is it a choice kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Either you hadn't worked on that specific scenario enough, or you
have
any thoughts on it?
No, it's just kind of miscommunication. You know, I'm reading his body language and, you know, throwing it to the spot, and you know, he made a good play and jumped. So it just sucks. You know, I think there's nothing, obviously you want it back, but yeah, it's kind of part of it, and you've got to find a way to, you know, put it on him. But at the end of the day, you know, you're going out there playing, and you know, we'll learn from it.
You guys have had a lot of games this season that, you know, you point to the way you finished, or mm-hmm. the way that, like, you guys stuck in there, but you've also had a lot of games that, you know, you said, I wish we could start faster. How do you kind of square those things?
Yeah, you know, I think that's the goal. That's the battle. You know, I think just starting off, being better on those first downs, and then just kind of finding that rhythm. And I think for me, just, you know, seeing it well, but finding a way to just get it done on those key third downs. And we're going to do that. You know, I promise you that. And we're going to do that. And I think there's a lot of stuff to progress and build off of. But just learning from it and kind of continuing to really emphasize that that's all we can do. And when those opportunities come, we'll take advantage of them.
I saw you on the sideline early in the game, kind of, you know, I don't want to say hyping people up, but, you know, obviously talking to a lot. Mm-hmm. What was your message at that point? Like, what were you trying to convey?
Yeah, it's gonna happen. It's gonna pop. I think we were seeing it fine. We knew what we were getting. We just had to be able to just, you know, we're that close on, like, some of them, and I think you just can't get down mentally. And that was my whole thing. Just stay even keel. You don't know. I mean, shoot, the last couple minutes, it's like this. You know, you just got to be able to operate. And I think we did a really good job of just kind of staying focused, and just going out there and attacking. So stuff like that's gonna happen. You maybe not start the way you want to, or there's gonna be some, you know, some things here and there, but that was my message, and kind of continue to do that. Is just, you know, we're doing some really good things. How can we just be consistent that way? How can I relay that message all the guys? So, I mean, that was what I was trying to focus on.
I'm gonna start either of these as a repeat. That last series before the 4th-and-1 keeper, on third down, did you, like, go into that thinking I'm looking for one option and throw it away if not, or?
Before we kicked the field goal?
You rolled right now, the final 4th-down stuff. On 3rd-and-1, you rolled right and chose to throw it away when I think Chris wasn't.
Yeah. Would like to just, you know, pop it on him. I think he did a really good job there, and they kind of collapsed on it from the outside. But my mindset was, I just, you know, in 3rd-and-1 here, I know I'm in 4th-down, so the last thing I want to do is take a sack. And we ended up in a really tough situation. So knowing that we had that opportunity was just kind of put it on them or throw it away. So obviously look back at it, I think we can get it there. So that's on me, but I think at the end of the day, you know, we'll get it done.
And was second down with shot play the first read on that play? That's the first thing you were hoping for, or it was if they reacted a certain way, you decided to go to the end zone?
Oh yes, yeah. No, that was just shot play for sure. Just trying to take it, attack and take advantage of, and obviously super close. But yeah, that was a mindset, especially down there, and when we're kind of getting them on their heels, and we'll figure out a way to get it done. It just sucks thinking back right now, obviously.
What are your thoughts on Charlie's
take
there?
Yeah, I mean, it was ice cold, man. Ice cold in his veins. I think that's tough whenever you're sitting around the whole game, you're kind of trying to stay warm. I think he did a really good job just coming in. I think the team saw that, just his neutrality, even in the kicking competition throughout the whole week. He came in there and made a really tough kick, because we got to be able to convert on that, and we knew we had to get points, so it was just really proud of him stepping up there.
For him to have the onside too,
yeah,
what does it say about him?
I mean, I see him practicing every single day, him and Groupie and all those guys, they were, they're dialed in on their craft, and I think that just gives a credit to him and all the whole special teams just stepping up really big there, because that's a huge play. And like I said, defense did a really good job all day, and we got to find a way to complement off that. And but yeah, Charlie was a huge deal for us.
He seems to be a very popular guy in the dressing room as well.
I'm sorry?
He seems to be a very popular guy in the dressing room.
Yeah.
Is that accurate, or just based off the player's body language, especially when he obviously made a 56 yard in the ring, mm-hmm. pretty tough stuff.
Oh yeah.
And then executed an inch perfect mm-hmm. onside kick.
I think just who he is as a person, I think just that's why, we love him. I think how he operates every single day, just coming to work, I think you got to respect that and who he is. You never know what he's saying sometimes. You might have to hear and say it twice, but he's got a great attitude, and I think he's coming in there and he's got that dog in him for sure. So was proud of him, and like I said, we got to get some more PATs for him.
That was Saints quarterback Tyler Shuck after the black and gold fall to Miami 21-17, week 13. The black and gold's record now 2-10 on the season. And right now, if things ended after this week 13, the black and gold would have the number 2 overall pick in the NFL draft. Only the Tennessee Titans are worse at this point.
So when we play the Titans, is it you remember old school? Do they still use this term?
The tidy bowl?
No, toilet bowl.
Yeah, I definitely know. Is it the tidy bowl? It's kind of like toilet bowl.
Yeah, tidy bowl. That's to clean the toilet. No, we in the toilet. We in the crap. So the tidy bowl is too
I guess
clean.
The tidy bowl would be the sponsor of the toilet bowl.
Yeah, that's a good one, Steve. Yeah, that's what it is. No, because that's going to be you got to really love football, or unless you're a Titans or a Saints fan, to watch that game. Any football is better than none.
Or you got to work that day.
Yeah. I don't know if people would put time aside maybe to watch that Titans and Saints. Now we're going to have to go on the road, too, in Nashville. So we got the Jets here, right? We got the Jets.
Jets are coming to the Dome, right?
So, the Giants, their fan base followed them. It'd be interesting to see. The Jets are so sorry. How many fans actually? Because New York, they might want to get away from the cold and come to New Orleans, have a good time. But I don't know how many loyal Jets fans. They will have. Farman Ed or something? Remember that big Jets fan?
Yeah, I don't know if the Jets are paying to go on the road to watch that team at all right now.
Yeah, exactly. So
we're going to take a break here on The Point After, folks. You can sound off with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, 504-260-1870. We'll be back with even more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. A Saints loss 21-17 at Miami. Taking your calls here on The Point After with the Cajun Cannon. Also reading some text, Cage.
Well,
what stood out to you there, Bobby?
Well, they've had two or three people, because it's true. Play calling, then you look at execution. And this is from 0152. My eyes going bad. Hey, Bobby, the play calling is terrible at the end of the game. The defense was conceding third and one with three down linemen. Remember, it was second and one, and Olave drops the potential game winner. So now it's third and one, and the Dolphins had three down linemen, and the Saints threw it. And then on fourth down, everyone in sight was in tight, and the Saints quarterback sneak was predictable, should have taken the first down. I agree with Hoss and Deuce hearing them. And then on third down, should have taken the first down. Because if you look at it, it's, like 40-something seconds left to play. So still enough time. So, to go on, it was too predictable. Should have taken the first down on third down with that run play calling. Makes players second guess the coach. No, there's a lot of truth to that. It's lack of execution and like don't looking like they don't know what the hell they're doing. And that's the quarterback and the head coach, who is the play caller, that being Kellen Moore and Shuck. I think more than anything at the end, that's who you have to hold accountable in those scenarios when the game's on the line. So,
well, Cajun Cannon, we're going to air to What's Bugging Bobby About Today's Game, brought to you by J&J Exterminators, Louisiana's largest independent exterminating company. 21-17 loss in Miami. Lack of a fast start, I know, is a troubling one, Cajun Cannon.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it.
Right, because it happens
too
often.
That constantly bugs me, yeah. So I'm not going to bring that up. And this also constantly bugs me how a third down offense sucks. First quarter scoring, third down offense. What doesn't suck for 1 week, at least, is red zone offense. We were 2-for-2, 100%, because we've been 0-for before. But what's bugging me is not winning football. We're not good enough. There's no margin for error not winning the turnover battle. And what I mean by that, if you look, at one time I was feeling pretty good about this, and it wasn't that long ago. It was basically a couple of months, not even that long, October the 5th. The New York Giants were a +5. Whoa, I said, Steve, that's a winning. If we can still keep building upon that, +5 in the turnover margin. Well, lo and behold, here we are, November the 30th, not even in December, and we're -5. So we go from +5 turnover margin to -5. When you break that down, no, that's not winning football. So that's what's bugging me. And if we play Tampa Bay, our... Like, I don't know who's playing with Tampa Bay, who's healthy and all that, but it's at Tampa. We play well, I said, on the road at Tampa. One of the greatest wins in Saints history was maybe the most boring game scoring-wise. Dennis Allen was the interim head coach, and we beat the great Tom Brady 9-0. That game still freaks me out. Like, what was the probability the Saints went 9-0 at Tampa? But I can tell you right now, we're not good enough to be minus in that turnover margin. Let's say we play the Jets right before Christmas at home, December 21st. We can't be -1. Or we go right after Christmas, December 28th at Nashville, Tennessee Titans. We can't be -1. No, then all of a sudden you might say, well, we better know, Steve. No, you're not that you win or lose. But I think what could keep us from winning would be to continuously lose the turnover margin. Like I said, we were -1 for the game. I think we're, if I'm correct, Steve, I think we're -1 against Atlanta, and we're -1 today against the Dolphins.
Right.
So that trend cannot continue. So that's what's bugging me, that we go all of a sudden, October the 5th, not that long ago, +5 in turnover margin to -5 on November 30th, that less than 2 months.
The well's dried up on us getting those takeaways.
Yeah, if you turn it, I think we need to limit our turnovers. That somehow, whether it's a fumble, and we've all contributed to that, whether it's a quarterback, receiver, running back, whatever, they've all played a part in it, protecting the football, because we have been one of the top fumble recovery teams. We're number 6 in the NFL. Remember I told you that? And so, okay, Bobby, what, you expect us to play perfect? Well, this is what I'm going to tell you. All I know in theory, coaches always say this, and they tell defensive players this. If you give the ball up one, then you got to get two back. Somehow you have to end up on that plus side. Or just don't turn it over and just get one takeaway. But end up, I would say, winning formula. I don't know if that'd be winning against Tampa Bay, but against the Jets, still got Carolina at home. Do you want us to really go on a 3-game winning streak, December the 14th to December 28th? Carolina at home, the Jets and the Titans. Because I don't know, Carolina's hot right now. We could be a spoiler. LSU was trying to be a spoiler to those Sooners. You know, 17-13 didn't happen. But I know a lot of Saints fans will say, no, Bobby, so what's the difference of us winning 2 games or 4 or 5? I'd rather us have a better draft pick. Now, the players got to play hard. You don't tank. The players don't tank because they're constantly being evaluated. You hear me say that all the time. No, what they put down on film, all the teams look at that. So you got to be a pro. But again, you can play hard and all that, but we're not good enough to overcome like minus one in a turnover margin.
Taking a break here on the point after. Saints losing 21-17 at Miami. You can sound off with the Cajun Cannon on our talk and text line. It's 504-260-1870. Be back right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, folks. Rolling on here on the point after the Saints fall to the Miami Dolphins 21-17 in Week 13 action. Plenty of your calls to get to here. So, JB, you are up next on the point after. What up tonight, JB?
Hey, guys, good evening. I'm calling from Lockport, Louisiana, close to you, Bobby.
All right, yeah, yeah, Central Lafourche. Yeah, what you got, JB, across the Intercoastal Canal?
Yes, sir, Lake Fields area. I was calling in reference. You mentioned early in the broadcast about personnel, talent, and all that. That's very true. And I was thinking, why hardly anybody talks? Well, we do, but it don't seem like we stress it enough. About old Mickey Rooney running the show over there. I call him Mickey Rooney. I don't call him Mickey Loomis, you know.
So I thought you were going to call him like Looney Tunes, Mickey Looney.
Yeah, there you go. That's even better. But the thing is, we all talking about, you know, we're going to probably end up with four or five wins at most, at best. So we're going to pick draft. I have no confidence in what he's going to do anyway, because the last three, four, 5 years, he hadn't done anything to really benefit the team.
Well, no, when you think about it, JB, when you think about it, what are we trying to address? Because that's one thing we kind of took for granted. We think, we're always going to have that. When Drew Brees and Sean Payton, our offensive line was kicking ass. We always had an unbelievable center for 12, 15 years. Going back, and even with McCoy now, but remember Max Unger? It was back to Jeff Fain was the highest paid center. And the guards, like Jari Evans is going to be a Pro Football Hall of Fame with Carl Nix. No, we were always stout in the middle. Now, that's what we did as of late, draft offensive linemen. Well, offensive line should be dominant, not just good. Offensive line should be great, and they're not. Go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Quick question. Is our talent evaluation of who we draft is bad? Is the scouting department doing a bad job? Because obviously they're bringing in who they think is good, and they're not panning out, that's for sure.
Well, Cesar Ruiz, come on. He would be value if he was a fifth or sixth round pick. He ain't no first round pick. He hasn't played like that. Trevor Penning, he's now sucking for the Chargers. And you can go on and on. I think, I don't know, you know, what have you done for me lately? I look at Banks as a rookie. Has Fuaga taken that next step? Now he's dealing with injuries.
Yeah.
But Fuaga ain't no Ramchek. So I just look across the board. Now I think we might have the right young tackles, but to say that they're going to be all pro and all that. No.
Yes.
Like Teron Armstead, the only thing problem with Teron Armstead was unbelievable. You know, he ended up going to the Dolphins. He was like a Ferrari or Lamborghini. He was unbelievable. But then he had the spark plug. Something was wrong, and then you have to put it in the shop. So I don't know. And you look at Atlanta. Okay, what Atlanta did to try and better their team, and I think at times they've shown that is their pass rush. They've gotten sacks.
Right.
So they invested in their defensive line. So, JB, let's say the Saints are picking first, second, or third. And let's say, I don't know, you might say, we need a quarterback. I don't like Tyler Shuck. So let's say you go with Tyler Shuck. Would you want a playmaker receiver to complement him? Because when you're picking first, second, or third, you can get the best player coming out of college, depending on your evaluation. At any position, what would you want to take right now? I think the fans would be ticked off if we took another offensive line.
No, Bobby, I have to agree with you. I know the line is a bad spot right now, but we don't have any good playmakers. Like you said earlier, again, in your broadcast, our biggest plays 8 yards, 10 yards,
yes,
10-yard pass every now and then.
No chunk plays. Splash plays, you might say. Bobby, that's a small sample size. No, it's the damn sample size every game. We have chunk plays. Right. Our longest run's 8 yards. Longest pass, 17. Right. Dolphins' longest run, 29. Longest pass, 34. And what I mean by chunk of splash plays, any run or pass over 20 yards. No, we don't really have that. The longest run of the season was exactly what Achane got today, 29 yards, was Taysom Hill on a 29-yard run. Not Alvin Kamara. And I love Alvin Kamara. But Alvin Kamara has fallen off. Now, I said this in the pregame. Do you, when you look at Alvin Kamara, okay, Bobby, can we truly count on him right now to have those chunk splash plays?
No.
Alvin Kamara, think about this. Since 2023, has had just three runs go longer than 20 yards, and all of that was last season. So this is all of this season, none of them. It was Taysom Hill. So, no, we have no explosive plays, but we don't have really no explosive players. Now, Chris Olave now and then, but not enough. And, you know, people say, oh, Bobby, now you're going to be on the Chris Olave bandwagon because he was outstanding against Carolina? I want to be on the bandwagon. But you can't just do that once a month.
Right, show me more than once.
Yeah, you can't do that once a month. You got to do that at least half the season. If you're playing 17 games, okay, do it 8 or 9 times. Where all of a sudden they have to change the defense to stop you to help open up other receivers. No, that's why I'm ready to give Vele more to targets going forward. All I know is he's productive. 8 targets, 8 catches, right on the 100 yards. Where Chris Olave, 7 targets, 4 catches. And then he potentially, on that 2nd-and-1, catch it, and we have a touchdown. Boy, what a great comeback win for the Saints. 40 seconds left. You don't never know what's going to happen. But at least we would have taken the lead. So, when you look at it, give me somebody explosive. Now, who was the explosive player in the last draft? Then maybe we did this when we do the draft, you know, all the mock drafts. Was the kid, the tall guy from Arizona.
That Ted McMillan.
Ted. What would they call? What's his name?
Tetteroa McMillan.
No, what's his nickname, though? I'll butcher that name. What would they call him? Ted. Yeah. Okay, Ted, Carolina. How has he been? I mean, is he kind of – did he get off today? Because you said little Bryce got off.
I think he had one catch, but it was a big, like, 40-some-odd-yard touchdown.
Oh, okay. And Steve, look at what he's done, because that's the type of player you'd be looking to draft in 2026. Because, Charlie, correct me if I'm wrong, you can tell Steve too in his ear, that who would be that top playmaker, go-to receiver in that 2026 draft? I don't think he's eligible, but who's that
Arizona big? State, another Arizona, but Arizona State guy in Jordan Tyson.
Okay, so that's the guy? Okay, so...
For this year's draft, right.
For this year's draft. Okay, what are the scouts? What do we think of him? I know who I like, but he's been a stud from a freshman. But Ohio State always got more than one receiver. Who's? I don't think he's eligible. Who's the big receiver? Smith?
Jeremiah Smith, yes.
Yeah. I don't know how he cannot succeed, but everybody would want him. But I don't think he's eligible to come out. This draft.
No.
So that wouldn't see. So we wouldn't have an opportunity to draft him.
Looking at the top, at least mock drafts right now, your top 5 guys here, Bobby, according to Tankathon, you got Reuben Bain Jr., the edge out of Miami, Fernando Mendoza, QB out of Indiana.
Okay, stop right now. You think Mendoza is better than Tyler Shuck? I mean, I don't know. Maybe not. Because I think Mendoza will make it. I think he's more a Jared Goff kind of guy, but can run a little better. Mm-hmm. He can run better than Jared Goff. I think he will be a starter in the NFL, but I don't know if he's that much better than Tyler Shuck. So.
Arvell Reese, a linebacker at Ohio State. Ty Simpson, quarterback of Alabama. And another quarterback, Dante Moore out of Oregon. Those are your top 5, at least, according to Tank.
Okay, Dante Moore, Alabama quarterback, and Mendoza, you think they're better than Tyler Shuck? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Because they're supposed to be the quarterback here, and then all of a sudden, look at Nussmeier. Remember before LSU's playing Clemson? Two of the top first-round quarterbacks playing head-to-head. Well, where's Klubnik?
No one's mentioning either now, right?
Yes. I don't know. Give me a for sure. It can't be like, I hope they work out or we can develop them. No, they got to be a stud from the get-go. If you pick it in the top 5, and let's say top 3, no. They got to be not only a starter, but he got to be a starter and be a stud. Has to be at a Pro Bowl level from day 1.
Up next here on the point after with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, we got Michael in New Orleans wanted to sound off. How's it going this tonight, Michael? What's up?
Good, Bobby. I think we got like 3 offensive linemen that could be penciled in as starters next year. Every other job on that team should be a battle. Nobody should be penciled in. We got the worst team in the NFL. And I'm going to hang up and listen to you talk.
Well, I think you said a lot, and you said a lot of quality information there. Yeah, I'd say obviously the center and the 2 tackles. I don't know what they owe Cesar Ruiz, you know, and they paid him before they should have had to pay him. You know, I understand sometimes Mickey Loomis, he pays the players and their contracts aren't up. You know, no, play out your contract. And then if you're that good, you don't want to hurt their feelings? I'm a franchise tag you? I don't know. Well, old school, they wouldn't care how your feelings were. But anyway, yeah, I think we have the two young tackles. Hopefully they work out. And we have the center. But as far as everybody else, no, you got to compete. And what's
we got to invest in guards heavily.
Yes. But we said we have to in
we
the
have
future.
To, yeah, right.
But we already did. I mean, think about that.
Well, it's not working.
No, it's not working. And I know as a quarterback, when you're in the pocket, you want to be able to step up.
Preach.
I know Drew Brees, now we had great tackles. Like, you know, you look at Armstead and even when Zach Strieff, like when he was drafted, how serviceable he was. But the mainstay why Drew had so much success, but he was a smart quarterback, was that pocket presence and being able to step up in the pocket and not panic, not freak out and run all backwards and run everywhere. But you got to have stout guards. And right now, I don't know. All I know is the Houdan Nation would go crazy. Oh, we got the top guard in the draft with the third pick or something. Like, what? You know, I remember one time the Redskins. When they were the Redskins, Washington. I think he was out of Iowa. I want to say the fifth or sixth pick. And Mike says, no way. I said, I'm telling you, they're going to draft this guard because I'd read a bunch of mock drafts and they did. Mike said, no way. But then he ended up being like a pro bowler. He was stout. But again, he was a guard. No one gets excited about drafting a guard in the top 10. Maybe a tackle because you don't have the edge. But I think right now, a guard, you need guards, but you want to find a diamond in the rough. You don't necessarily want a guard where you can get a great playmaker with that top pick.
Taking a break here on The Point After. Be back with even more. Stay tuned right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. It is closing time here on The Point After. The Saints losing 21-17, week 13 at the Miami Dolphins. New Orleans dropping to 2-10 on the season. The Dolphins' record boosted up to 5-7. We know now for the Saints next week, they will be back in Florida taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's pause 10 seconds right now, though, folks. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Well, that's a wrap on Week 13. Cajun Cannon, another rough loss for this black and gold bunch. What's your message for the team and Houdats?
Well, my message is there's always a light at the end of the tunnel, but the problem is the damn light is a train coming to run your ass
over.
The
lane train, baby!
Yeah, you have the lane train coming to run you over. Yeah, I'm optimistic about the Fighting Tigers.
Say goodnight.
All right. Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Houdat, go Saints!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select 1-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.